This is Derek Pauly, a.k.a. Volley Pauly, from the Pauly's Pick'ems podcast, and you're listening to Tapouts and Touchdowns.
You're listening to another football episode of Tapouts and Touchdowns with Banker Bill.
Ryan, you should get off the internet.
And your guy, Bully Rye.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
That's right, everybody. It's another live football episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye, and sitting next to me in the Miami Dolphin gear once again, Banker Bill. Bill, what's going on, bud?
Having a man. I love our lead-in music. I enjoy that so much for some reason. I don't know what it is. I just get to, in a groove. I like it. I wish we could play it the whole time. Maybe not.
I mean,
probably get old. It's like one guitar riff, right, in a beat.
Listen, so good, though. I kind of want, so if you've never watched my Panthers show, Desmond Johnson, the producer of Tobacco Road Sports Radio and producer of that show, The Cat Cave, he put us a little song together for it. And my co-host now, Michael Davis, and I, we get to jamming as that song's going. Mm-hmm. It's better than the one that we've got here. I'd like to find something. This is just the generic, you know. Countdown.
I can lead you in some directions. Don't worry. I have things that we can do.
Well, we've got some
of
things.
Of course, I broadcast, right? I do the broadcasting stuff, so I do that in another area. So I've got some music that we can find for free that's some pretty cool jams.
Well, we talk about things to do. We've got some things to do tonight. First of all, we're live, sir, on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. If you happen to join the show, make sure you leave a comment so that we can read it live on the air and talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. Shout out to anybody who joins. I've shared the link, Bill. I hope you have.
I did.
We had a couple of viewers a second ago. Hope they're just having technical difficulties as they sort of dwindled off. But we've got a lot to get to. Listen, we are deep in the preseason, both college football fall camp and the NFL preseason. We actually got preseason football this weekend, Bill. Pretty exciting. I would imagine it's going to be better than the USFL Hall of Fame game that we saw last weekend. Before we get into, listen, this is just something that I was talking off the cup with a couple people about. Once again, if you're watching the show, make sure you leave a comment. We'll talk. We'll read it on the air, and we'll bring it up. The Hall of Fame game. It's about as useless as the Pro Bowl games, correct?
This season, 100%. I think they used to at least play starters. But now, I mean, you had Voldemort on the sideline standing there in his hoodie. You've got the worst draft pick in Jets history possibly playing a series. And, you know, he's done. And you had Kellen Mond starting for the Browns. Did anybody know that Kellen Mond was still in the league? I didn't. And, nice to see him, Texas A&M quarterback. I mean, he was pretty decent at Texas A&M, but here he was starting for the Browns. I think I watched about 5 minutes and went, I'm watching third stringers. I'm done. I don't care about it either of these teams. I don't care about who's going to make their rosters. I care about their starters because, you know, fans, football and all that. Just boring. It's not worth it. Worse than the USFL.
So how do they fix it? I think the simple explanation is stop doing the Hall of Fame game as the first preseason game, game zero. Make the Hall of Fame game the opening night of the NFL season.
We're putting less and less emphasis on preseason every season, right? They're talking about just avoiding injuries, getting your players ready to play in the regular season through practices because they go through so many practices. And, you know, we've gone away from two-a-days. We're just doing a lot of, one single-day practices, but they're doing a month of it, right? So the preseason games mean less and less. There's only three of them now.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't play anybody that was in the first or second. I mean, barely played second stringers. So I don't know. They're just trying to find the back end of the roster. Everybody kind of feels like they know what their team's going to look like, their roster's going to look like. So
yeah.
It's just so pointless. I don't know. I was never a fan of getting rid of preseason, but I get it because you've got injuries. Of course, we'll talk about that later because that's my homer's corner. But yeah.
We got a couple shout-outs early in the chat here. My sister's in the house, Stephanie.
Hey.
Stephanie coming in. And then you've got a fan in here, Dylan Lee in here, Banker.
Oh,
Bill,
Dylan,
what's up?
The pink lady.
Got some folks in here watching. Again, leave a comment. We'll read it live on the show. We briefly mentioned college football. There is a lot going on in the world of college football. And primarily it comes out of the Pac-12 because we have seen the end of the Pac-12.
Have we? I hold out hope, Ryan. I'm going to hold out hope that we somehow figure out how to merge ourselves with the Mountain West here. The Pac-12, well, I mean, they have
Heisman. They don't have a choice.
11 Heisman winners or something like that. It's come out of the Pac-12. I think it's what I read. Three or four championships. It's something like that, or maybe more. I mean, Washington had one, and I think USC had a run of three at one point.
Yeah.
You can't get rid of such a storied conference, and it's ridiculous why it's happening. It's frustrating, but we talked about it last week. I'm a history guy. I mean, I like tradition, and we're dumping this wonderful conference that has been the pride of the Pacific, the left coast, if you will, for all these years. I think it's ridiculous. It pisses me off, and damn the schools that have abandoned the Pac-12. I hope they go down in flames.
Yeah, if you're watching the show live, across the ticker, if you're watching live or watching the YouTube replay later, if you've been living under a rock, there have been five schools announced their departure. Actually, Colorado was the first domino to fall after Southern Cal and UCLA announced their departure for the Big Ten. Within the last 2 weeks, Oregon and Washington have also elected to join UCLA and USC in the Big Ten, as well as Arizona State, Arizona, and Utah joining Colorado in the Big 12. That leaves a four-team Pac-12. The Pac-4, if you will, Oregon State, Washington State, Cal, and Stanford. Listen, I'm with you. The Pac-8, the Pac-10, whatever the case was, it's a storied conference. But sometimes all good things must come to an end.
It's the Pac-4.
I mean, maybe you can call them the four horsemen of college football. As they look for a home, there were rumors earlier this week that the ACC had preliminary talks in somehow bringing in Stanford and Cal. Logistically, it doesn't make sense. There's a lot of pundits talking about the idea of how good is this for college athletics, not football. Before we get into it a little more, Dylan Lee coming back. Let's go Miami. And your dad's in the house.
Hey, what's up, Dad? Hey,
Big Daddy Bill.
Look, we got to figure out. We have to have a running tally on how many weeks I go without duplicating jerseys. How about that? Like, how many new jerseys can Bill roll out?
I'm just waiting for you to bring out the orange jersey. I know you've got an orange jersey somewhere.
I don't know if it fits me, though. That was in skinnier days and Chinese days when I was buying the Chinese jerseys.
My Calvin Johnson jersey is one of those Chinese jerseys. It's fantastic. I mean, it's great quality.
It's great
quality. Have you heard there's a quote from the president of Washington, the University of Washington, about why they chose to leave. And it makes sense. And her basic argument was that they were looking for visibility, linear television, that they weren't getting in the Pac-12.
Stop.
The Pac-12 had a deal lined up. It was with Apple TV. So most iPhone users probably get Pac-12 games.
Why would it have been lined up with Apple TV? Why would Apple TV have been the streaming service for the Pac-12?
Because that's what the commissioner of the Pac-12 was negotiating. Real quick, shout out Andy.
Because they were willing to pay the most. That's why. That was what was going on. They're willing to pay the most. ESPN would have happily taken the Pac-12 on. I mean,
that's the thing. If they were willing to take on the Pac-12, they would have taken them on. Instead, they signed a contract with the ACC. They signed a contract with the SEC.
They don't have to be the only. They could have multiple conferences. Fox Sports, any of these ones could have come back in. I mean, there's plenty. There's Root Sports out there. Bally's, I think, is bankrupt now. But I mean, there's others. Apple was willing to pay big money to these schools to put them on their streaming service.
Do you know the exact number?
No, but that's what it is. That's the reason any of these schools do anything.
So here's the deal. There were no other bidders. Other than Apple TV. If there was, then we would have already seen it. The Big 12 just signed a contract with CBS.
Let's use the power of Google.
Yeah, while you're looking it up, I'll go through mine. CBS and SEC are done after this year. So the Big 12 has a partnership, if I'm not mistaken, with CBS. I believe Fox Sports has the Big 10 partnership because that's always, you're always getting Michigan, Ohio State at the end of the season on Fox. The ACC is with ESPN, the ACC network. The SEC is obviously with the SEC.
Oh, I got network. You. I got you. It was quick.
Okay, let's hear it.
ESPN, Fox, and CBS all put in last-minute bids for the packages of Pac-12 games, but the bids all came in way lower than the conference wanted.
I mean,
and then they bail because they're going to say they didn't have any visibility. It's their own fault. They set it up so they could leave. I don't want to hear this crap. Damn the teams that are doing this to these conferences. I hate it.
Your dad chimes in. I hope they go down in flames. Your dad chimes in. It's all the money. Big Ten offers 85 to 100 million. Yep. No other conference is close to this money. Listen, I know you're frustrated with the schools that left, and it's not going to make logistical sense. The other argument is, what about the teams that are like, what about the softball team from USC that has to go play like a weekend series at Rutgers or you know, whatever the case is. Listen, there's a lot to be said.
Well, what about Rutgers that has to now travel across to the country to play USC in LA? Like, they don't want to do that.
I still think
Rutgers joined the Big Ten.
I still think the idea that, again, you said that the conference wanted more money than the other networks were willing to give, right?
In fact, you ready for this? The commissioner, sure. George Klyavkov, I don't want to, he's not Ukrainian or Russian or anything. It's OFF, not OV. Just so we,
yeah.
I just want to say it. Only presented the conference presidents with the Apple TV bid because the other ones came in so low. So he made it look like Apple TV was the only one that was willing to do this because it was so much higher.
But that's sort of my point, Bill. When everybody's throwing the money at the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC, and not even to that point, not the ACC, because there's teams want that one out of the ACC right now.
But we don't know what the Apple TV bid. Maybe they bid more than the media deal. Then, you know, maybe it was comparable to what the Big Ten was getting, but they didn't want to do that.
So the argument from the president of Washington, and I don't remember her name, but the argument was that they wanted visibility for their program. If you sign the Apple TV deal, and the only way that you can stream Pac-12 games is if you have Apple TV, that's like taking the SEC and making them ESPN Plus only. So you have to pay for the ESPN subscription service in order to watch SEC games. That's not okay when regional. Regional.
I agree with that. That stinks. Okay, so here's some of the numbers. Fox's bid was for just 13 football games, for which it said would pay around $35 to $40 million per year. Only 13 games. That's a lot.
I want to know how much the ESPN is investing into the SEC network.
Well, and then ESPN was going to share theirs with ESPN and it's Amazon.
It all goes to my point that, yeah, the schools, the conference wasn't happy with the money that they were getting offered. And so they wanted more. And rather than fight, there was an analogy, and I'm not going to be able to, like, replicate the analogy. But why would you go and, let's say you're going to, let's say you're going to a restaurant, and it's a buffet, and the restaurant across town, you can go to this buffet, and there's plenty of food to go around. There's more food in the back. There's plenty of room that you can get what you want. You can get seconds, and then you go to the restaurant that's closer to the house. There's limited options. It's sort of first come, first serve. So you're fighting your way to get what it is that you want. Would you rather drive the extra 30 minutes to make sure that you're not going to go hungry, get what you want, be happy, be fat and happy, or would you rather stay close to home and save a couple bucks in gas money, and just have to fight for what you get? Like, that's to me.
Do you want to go deeper on this?
Absolutely. This is our show. We can sort of go with it however we want.
So Fox was instrumental in making UCLA and USC move from the Pac-12 because they wanted them to go to a conference they covered.
Yeah.
So Fox has had their money in the pie with the Pac-12, getting teams to leave. There's speculation that Fox also convinced Oregon and Washington to leave. Now, Fox wasn't going to get the TV deal with the Pac-12, and now they've convinced these teams to come to a conference that they televise. That's corruption.
So listen, I'm not disagreeing with you, but what can they do? I mean, the Pac-12. It's horrible. You know,
I want them all to burn in flames. I want these teams to lose recruits because they're now going so far across the country that they're basically playing Seattle's NFL schedule, and it's awful every year.
I guess my question would be, what recourse does the Pac-12 have, or does the Pac have? Let's just call it.
Well, what can they do, or what are they going?
Yeah,
after?
I mean, they
don't
they
think
can't,
there's anything that can be done because
they could probably try to sue Fox for some
they
sort
might be
of.
Able to.
But I don't know. The money's only going to go to four schools because there's only four schools left.
No, yeah, I don't know.
I don't listen. Conference expansion, it's not done. There's rumors that it's not rumors. Florida State is adamantly unhappy about being in the ACC. There's a deadline that is out there where schools like Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina have to opt out. But there's over a $100 million buyout or upwards of $100 million buyout to leave the ACC. And that contract with the ACC, the television deal is through like 2036, right? A lot of the experts are saying that the next big domino to fall will be Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's still getting NBC money on their own without being in a conference. But the conferences, like they've been recruiting, like the Big 12 and the Big 10 have been recruiting, there's going to be conferences that are going to be recruiting Notre Dame to join as a conference member when it comes to football. There's also been said that the SEC is happy with the way that their conference has panned out. It's still somewhat regional. But the regional conferences, I mean, with the Big Ten and the Big 12 basically raiding the pack, regional conferences are sort of a thing of the past at this point. And it's unfortunate, unless you're an SEC fan like we are. So the farthest I'll have to travel in 2024 is to Norman, Oklahoma, to watch my Gamecocks play the Sooners for the first time. But nevertheless, big stuff coming, big stuff happening in college football, big
awful.
Stuff coming
awful.
In college football. And what's even more important to me is that we're like 3 weeks away from the first college football game of the season. We got another comment in here. Your dad chiming in again. The conferences need more money because of NIL and the Big Ten is the big dog.
The SEC is the big dog. I think you got that one wrong, but that's okay.
Listen, let that man ride and die with Rutgers.
Loves
you know what I'm saying?
Ten. I know.
I'm okay listen,
with it. I watch Rutgers too.
The last topic we're going to really tackle before we get into fantasy football and before we get into our Super Bowl predictions, you actually
Super
brought this
Bowl
up
predictions.
To me. Yeah, we got Super Bowl predictions coming up, man.
Isn't it like August?
Yeah, August? But we already went through our way too early prediction for the conferences themselves, and we predicted our Super Bowl matchup. So we're going to predict winners this week. You actually brought this to my attention. ESPN reporting three major quarterback battles in camp.
One of them I'm a little bit shocked by, but okay.
Yeah. By the way, Michelle Russell in the chat. Michelle, welcome back to the show. Three major quarterback battles, and a couple of them are not surprising. You've got Washington with Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett.
Sad.
Yeah, listen, like who is –
Jacoby Brissett Heineke? Is a failed quarterback. Exactly. Where's Taylor Heineke at this point? Right.
Taylor Heineke is in Atlanta.
He's in Atlanta, yeah.
I think if anything, he'd be a better option than Desmond Ritter.
Yes.
But
not a terrible quarterback, right?
It's what's crazy to me is you look at Tampa Bay, which is one of the quarterback battles. Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask were both listed as the number one quarterbacks on the depth chart. They have announced that Baker Mayfield will start game one of the preseason,
correct?
While Kyle Trask will start game two. Now, I looked up Kyle Trask. His final year at Florida was a big one. Over 4,000 passing yards, 43 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Baker Mayfield is a known turnover machine at the NFL at this point in his career. Let's start off here in Tampa Bay, since you like to talk about Florida teams. Who do you think will emerge as the starting quarterback come week one for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I think what I'm surprised with this one is Baker Mayfield was what would have been called – I won't call him the incumbent because he wasn't there, but I think everybody had the expectation that he was going to go in as the starter there in Tampa. And yeah. Kyle Trask has played himself in preseason, well, in camp, into the conversation, which I'm excited about. I'm happy because they originally thought that he was going to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady and just was a disaster. In practice and everything else, they were like, this guy's not ready. And he's come in year two as a completely different player. And they're loving at least liking what they're seeing more than they did before. So now he's in the conversation. So that's become a quarterback controversy down there. Like you said, Baker Mayfield, we've not seen much good from him. There are a couple moments last year with LA that he played pretty well. But I'm excited for Kyle Trask. I mean, like you said, he had a big, big season, and that was with Kyle Pitts, obviously, as his tight end. He had that big year, got his big draft pick. But Kyle Trask, not a big draft pick. I think he was a second or third rounder. And I'm hoping. Let's see, man. Let's see if this guy can play his way into the starting role.
If I'm Tampa
Bay, either way, they're going to stink. They're still winning two games.
Yeah, Tampa Bay is going to be trash this year. But if I'm Tampa Bay, I'm rolling with Kyle Trask. Baker Mayfield has now, become a journeyman quarterback. Carolina traded for him to try him out last year. He worked out so well that they outright cut him, and he had to sign with the Rams because Sam Bradford, listen to me. Matt Stafford got hurt, and so they had no choice but to play Baker Mayfield. If I'm Tampa Bay, I'm rolling with Kyle Trask.
I agree.
Now, we'll go backwards, forward backwards here. We already talked about Washington, Sam Howell, Jacoby Brissett.
That one's terrible.
If
you're losing your starting job, your possible starting job to Jacoby Brissett, give up.
Listen, Jacoby Brissett
has some moments. He's also a Florida Gator, by the way. Came out of Boston College, but he played in Florida for a bit.
Oh, I remember.
Yep. But he is, we know what he is. You know what you're getting with him, and he's not going to blow the doors off anybody. And you had a pretty up and down quarterback last year. That's what you're going to get with Jacoby Brissett. I thought they were going to go with Sam Howell because they're thinking young guy, right? Second year player along with Kyle Trask. We'll see. I can't believe that there's actually a controversy there. I thought for sure we were going to see Sam Howell be the starter of that team.
The more I think about it, the more I think Washington could fall into the number one pick in the draft this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got some talent on that team when it comes to running back.
Somebody that needs a quarterback needs to, because there's a couple of them out there.
Yep. And so it's we're looking at the Caleb Williams, Drake May. Mm-hmm. And you know, listen.
No.
Spencer Rattler could play his way into a
third round draft pick. Okay. Anyway, let's go.
No. Yeah. We'll talk about it in the Homer's Corner because I want to pitch something to you in Homer's Corner while we're talking about South Carolina. Let's go to Indianapolis because we both have been very adamant, very clear. And it's funny that all three of these teams have a former Florida Gator quarterback that is involved in a quarterback battle.
QBU, baby. Let's go.
Gardner Minshew is a decent quarterback, played well in Jacksonville. I think he was with the Jets or the Eagles one where he played.
Actually really well in Jacksonville his rookie season. Had really, really good rookie numbers and then got pooped on.
Yeah,
it wasn't his fault that they were bad. No, you look at his stats that season, it was not his fault.
We've made it very clear that whoever drafted Anthony Richardson in the first round is going to be without a job in 5 years. Now, the question is, does Jim Irsay pull a Jim Irsay and tell the coaches you're starting Anthony Richardson? Or do we see Gardner Minshew start the season as the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts?
I don't know. Why is there why do you draft a guy fourth overall and you're not going to start him? Tua drafted fifth overall. He didn't start his first season, right? But he did get into games quickly that season. I mean, they had Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was a better quarterback than most. I think is he better than Gardner Minshew? I'm not sure. Maybe at this point in Gardner's career. But, you know, you had him. You had Justin Herbert drafted sixth overall. Goes straight into games. Ryan Tannehill, I forget, what was he drafted? Eighth or ninth overall? Started straight into games. I mean, these guys usually, if you get drafted in the top 10, you start playing. And if you're so high on somebody like Anthony Richardson, and now you've got a quarterback battle with a guy that hasn't won a starting job anywhere else that he wasn't just the guy that was going to play because Jacksonville had nobody else.
Yeah, listen, I'd like to see Gardner Minshew be the starter for nothing more than to prove point.
The mustache. Bring it back.
I do like Gardner Minshew.
He had the cutoff shorts and all that. Good stuff.
We got another comment in the chat. Volley Polly chiming in, watching us on YouTube. Did my ears deceive me that Bully said Washington could fall to the number one pick? They could. Listen,
where did we have them? Do you still have the sheet of where we have?
I do. I have it right in front of us.
All right. Where do we have?
We both had the Commanders at 4-13.
Okay,
but I had the Bucks at 1-16. We had a couple teams with 2 wins.
We had Houston at number one, but that's Arizona.
No, yeah. You've got the Bucks getting the number one pick going 1-16.
So they get a quarterback and then they become good again.
I'm trying to look real quick. I've got a couple 3-win teams. Yeah, I've got 3-3-win teams. I don't have anybody winning less than 3 games, but they could very easily fall into the number one pick. I mean, if things listen, last year I was very close to picking some divisions verbatim, like perfect start to finish, records and everything. But Lightning doesn't strike twice, or does it? We'll have to see. Bill, we're gonna talk about our first sponsor, and then we're gonna get in our first fantasy football talk of the season. So before we do that, let's go ahead and talk about our first sponsor, Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my best friend Aaron Thompson at 843-452-8761 for a quote today, and make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap House and Touchdown sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
Good read, Ryan. That was a good one. I just want to say that this is what Michelle Russell sent us. Get out of here.
Oh yeah.
I can't believe I allowed that to be on my phone.
Oh man, yeah. It might be a virus, block. Bill.
Block that number.
Yeah, you might she might have given you a virus with that.
It's called the Josh Allen virus.
So Bill, we are right around the time where we are going to be drafting fantasy football rosters going into this
season.
1 week
from tomorrow, I drafted my one and only fantasy football league.
So we need to talk about that too, because we may have to do like a podcast fantasy league where we get your dad involved, maybe, even if it's like, listen,
that would do it.
Gambling's not legal in South Carolina, but we're not also saying
that's not considered gambling. Actually, you can play fantasy sports. That's not considered gambling. That's why they allow DraftKings here in South Carolina.
We may have to figure out a way to get maybe a 10 to 12 person league, and maybe I don't know, maybe get some listeners that might want to be involved, or some other podcast hosts.
You need 10.
At least 10. Absolutely. Yeah. No more than 12, no less than 10. That's the sweet spot, 10 to 12.
We did. We were supposed to talk about Paulie's 14 team fantasy league this week.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Dropping the ball over there, Ryan.
We dropped the ball, Volley Polly. I'm also dropping the ball.
We'll get you next week.
He won a contest on the show last year, and I owe him a T-shirt. I haven't even made myself a T-shirt.
We got to get those jerseys rolling, man. I'm ready to just do it without your permission.
We need to do it. Matter of fact, if we do, I will get with Volley Polly, and I will pay out of pocket for his jersey. So the jersey can suffice for his T-shirt, so I never have to hear him say anything about it again.
Right.
But he'd be one of three people in the world to have a Tap House and Touchdowns football jersey. He won't be one of the three people in the world to be drafting a fantasy football team coming in 2023. Bill, players to avoid, players to target in fantasy football in 2023. We're going to start off at quarterback here. A lot of guys coming back from injury from last year. A lot of guys had breakout seasons last year. A lot of guys signed some big money contracts in the offseason. Bill, I think when I talked to you off the air, I said we're going to give one name each. I've got a couple for some of these positions. Give me a quarterback that you want to look out for.
Overachiever.
I did it like an hour ago. Like, I've never been more nervous to do a live show because I felt completely unprepared because I got all these graphics done yesterday.
Yes.
And I was like, right up until an hour before the show, I had nothing done for this fantasy football segment. Give me a quarterback that you're wanting to target in fantasy football in 2023.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Hot diggity.
Blowing the doors off the NFL this season. He's going to stay healthy, I promise.
I'm glad you mentioned him because he was one of the two guys that I wrote down. And you're going to not be able to see
when
the chicken scratch.
He was
scratch.
Healthy last season. Yeah, that was just a bunch of glare. Thank you for that.
Yeah, my eyes are you're glowing. Welcome. Good.
But last season when he was healthy, he absolutely dominated. I mean, he has got so many weapons down there in Miami, and they added one this season with Devon Achane. The word out of Miami is that guy is doing amazing things in camp, so amazing that he's ruining the Dalvin Cook sweepstakes.
So
that was the word that I read.
That's good. So Bill, I'm gonna raise your stakes here because Tua Tagovailoa was one of those quarterbacks I said to watch out for. In 2022, he was the number 15 ranked quarterback.
Injuries.
238.9 fantasy points, missing four games and some change because he got knocked out in the middle of some games.
He had a terrible game in against Green Bay where he threw a bunch of interceptions.
He threw for 3,548 yards last season, 25 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. A remarkable season for a guy who missed some games. So Tua Tagovailoa is not a bad guy to pick. I'm going to raise you one better. I'm sticking with the homer theme here. I'm saying to watch out for Jared Goff. In 2022, he was the number 10 scorer amongst quarterbacks in fantasy. 290.3 points, 4,438 passing yards, 65% completion percentage in 2022 with 29 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Not a lot. Listen, Lions fans were clamoring for the Lions to draft a quarterback. They did. And who I thought was a Heisman favorite until his injury and his terrible game against South Carolina, Hendon Hooker. But I don't think people are given the respect that Jared Goff sort of deserves here in Detroit, and especially considering that they're bringing just about everybody back on offense. They've added a couple of pieces in Sam LaPorta from Iowa, the rookie tight end, to replace TJ Hockenson. Jameson Williams banged up in camp, also going to miss a couple games due to suspension. Bring it back, Marvin Jones. They got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is the new Cooper Kupp in the NFL. I love Jared Goff. Listen, if you don't get one of those top guys as far as quarterbacks go, and I should have prefaced this, the people that I'm telling you to look out for are not the people that you want to draft first. These are the guys that if you don't get your top guys like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, these are the guys that will be serviceable quarterbacks where you don't need to stress out about. If you end up drafting a quarterback late, Jared Goff, if you get Jared Goff in like the 12th round, you should be doing really well for yourself. Get another comment. Volley Polly saying both of us having some good ideas with Tua and Jared Goff.
I like it.
In fantasy.
Those are my two quarterbacks that I ended with last season, by the way.
Not bad guys to have.
Yeah.
Jared Goff just doesn't have the sex.
Surprising name. You said Jared Goff. I ended up picking him up and I would have won my semifinal game if I had played him. I played Tua.
Listen.
Actually, no, I didn't. I think I had – never mind. That's a long. That's a past season. Let's not worry about it.
Well, listen, Jared Goff just doesn't have that sexy name. He made it to a Super Bowl in the Rams.
You don't think Jared Goff sounds sexy?
No, Goff. I
think his girlfriend would probably disagree.
His wife, girlfriend, whatever. I mean, listen, his last name seems like something that I'm really bad at.
As long as your name first name isn't Jack, I think you're okay.
I think you're good. I think you're right on that too. Bill, give me a quarterback you're avoiding in fantasy football this season.
He is a sexy pick, and you might, because he switched teams this season, you might think he's going to be pretty exciting, but I think I'm going to avoid Voldemort. I think I'm going to skip Aaron Rodgers. Do not pick Aaron Rodgers. I know it's exciting to see him on a new team. He's got weapons. Garrett Wilson's there. He's fantastic, right? And, you know, I think that's going to be a good team. And I think because of that defense, they're going to win games. I just think they're going to win close games. They're not going to score a ton of points. So I would avoid Aaron Rodgers this season in your fantasy draft.
I didn't want to be that guy because I told people to avoid Aaron Rodgers last year in fantasy football.
And I drafted him.
And I told people not to.
He actually had a good midseason, though.
Midseason. But you were probably already falling behind.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I did pretty well.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people were probably falling behind because they probably drafted him early. I'm gonna give you probably more of an obvious name here. Kyler Murray. Last year.
Oh, that's low-hanging fruit, Ryan.
It is low-hanging fruit, but I'm giving it to you anyway. He was the number
that's like saying, don't draft Anthony Richardson. Actually, you might want to, because if he ends up being a running quarterback, he's like Justin Fields light, right? I mean he's Justin Fields can't throw, neither can Anthony Richardson.
If
Justin
you're in
Fields
a dynasty,
be a solid quarterback.
If you're in a dynasty league, Richardson might not be a terrible pick to have somebody late.
If you get points for the quarterback rushing, Anthony Richardson might be a solid pick. That's why Justin Fields is a top five fantasy quarterback, because he gets 1,000 yards rushing.
We both agree that the Cardinals are going to be terrible this year. I've got him at 6-11. You've got him at 4-13.
Do you think he'll be benched by the midseason?
I don't think he'll be playing by midseason. Like he's still injury? Coming off his ACL injury, so they don't think he's going to start until midseason.
Yeah,
he was the number 19 quarterback in fantasy. And again, that includes the fact that he missed the last half of the year with his torn ACL, and he's coming back to a team without DeAndre Hopkins to throw the ball to. I'm not touching Kyler Murray. I don't care if he's there for my last round pick. Depending on your keeper rules, maybe, but I'm not touching Kyler Murray for 2023. Let's shift gears. Let's go to running back, because we had a lot to say last week about running backs in the NFL. Volley Polly, thanks for being here, man. We'll catch you on the podcast so you can catch the end of the show. Back to it, Bill. We talked a lot about running backs last week and how the position just isn't getting the respect it deserves. Yes. Nobody's getting paid well.
Yes.
A lot of guys to avoid in running back, in my opinion, this year. Not a lot of guys to look out for. Bill, who are you targeting when it comes to running back in fantasy?
Can I give you two? I've got two.
Yeah.
In the first round, you have to get one of these guys. Number one.
Let's hear it.
Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
Go get him. His receiving yards make him a viable.
That's right.
Fantastic fantasy option, period. The other one, Bijan Robinson. Go get him.
It's hard
to... Go get him. He's on a team that the offensive coordinator likes to run the football, mm-hmm. and they have no quarterback. They're going to have to run Bijan Robinson, and their offensive line is pretty good.
You called Kyler Murray low-hanging fruit. Those guys kind of low-hanging fruit.
Wait a minute. That's my targeting one. Now my other one is a good... My avoid is a good player. You went for a bad player to avoid. I'm not going to tell you a bad player. I'm going to tell you a good player.
Yeah, but when it comes to running backs, like when you say, hey, go out and get this guy, Austin Eckler finished number 4 in fantasy points last year, and Bijan Robinson is the sexy pick. He's a rookie, so you're sort of hesitant to take a rookie in your first or second round.
There's a reason to go get him. It's the offensive coordinator added to the fact that they don't have a great quarterback, they have a good offensive line, and they're going to have to run the football to try to win games.
I agree with you 100%. Those are two good guys to go after as names that people have at the top of their list that they fall to you. It's guys that you'd be lucky to have. I'm giving you two guys that nobody's really talking a lot about. Number one comes out of Minnesota. No Dalvin Cook means all the play time and all the fantasy production in the world for Alexander Mattison. Last year, sitting behind Dalvin Cook, he was still the number 51 running back in fantasy football with 73.4 fantasy points. Anytime Dalvin Cook missed time, Alexander Mattison made you forget that Dalvin Cook wasn't on the field because Alexander Mattison could put the same production as Dalvin Cook. So if people are forgetting about Alexander Mattison, I'm going after him and at least in the top 4 rounds. If he's maybe round 5, if he's there, I'm taking him. And this might be a little bit of a homer pick as well. I'm gonna give you a second one as well. I'm going Miles Sanders for the Carolina Panthers. Oh. I knew you weren't going to like it.
He was going to be one of my guys to avoid.
I'm telling, so we got our first difference here. Maybe we'll have a side bet going on. Listen, Miles Sanders had a career season last year.
How much money that Hayden Hurst is written down as the guy to target for tight end? How much money?
Don't you get ahead of me. Don't you get ahead of me, Big Bill. Miles Sanders was the number 10 running back in fantasy last season. 1,269 yards, 11 touchdowns, good. For 196.7 fantasy points last season.
And that's why you should avoid him. Because he's done it one time.
He has RB1 in Carolina. They are going to do everything they can to set up Bryce Young to succeed. And if it means having a balanced run game, that means that Miles Sanders is going to be a guy that is going to be looked at to sort of, pun intended, carry this offense into 2023.
Fair. I hate the pick, but fair.
Bill, give me your running backs to avoid in 2023.
Well, one of them was Miles Sanders. I was going to say avoid Miles Sanders like the plague. He was on a very good team last year, and this team that he's on this year is not going to be very good. Okay, and he's always been injured. That's why. All right, that's Miles Sanders. The other one, Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has no quarterback play up there in Green Bay. Get away from him. He was a good running back last year in fantasy football. He always seems to perform well. He is a good, good running back. But they are a dumpster fire this year. I would stay away from that guy.
I like Aaron Jones for the very reason they don't have much of an offense otherwise.
For the reason I like Bijan Robinson are the same reasons I don't like Aaron Jones, which is weird.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I don't feel like that offense is going to feel.
I'm going to give you two guys that are at the top of draft boards, but I am not drafting if they fall to me. Jonathan Taylor and Josh Jacobs. Jonathan Taylor has asked for a trade that he will not be getting out of Indianapolis. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He has now left the facility to continue to nurse an ankle injury and rehab an ankle injury that he suffered last year. They've tried to argue that he had a back injury. He said there was no back injury. Either way, I'm not touching Jonathan Taylor this year. And for the same reason, I'm not touching Josh Jacobs. He is not reported to camp. At least he was a late holdout. I don't know if he's reported to camp as of yet, but Josh Jacobs is a holdout. We've seen what happens when running backs specifically hold out of training camp. They don't get the conditioning that they need. They get banged up early in the season, and it goes into the regular season, and it's sort of like 1 week they could put up 120 yards and a touchdown, and the next week they get 15 yards, they lose a fumble, and you have no idea why you even bothered drafting them. So Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Taylor are probably top five running backs in the NFL. But based on the situations they're in, I'm not touching either one of them this year in fantasy football. I've got the number five pick in my draft, and I'm hard pressed if they're available, not to take them. I'll tell you this. I've had someone argue with me that if I have the number five pick, that Travis Kelce is a solid number five overall pick in fantasy football. He's the only tight end you can really count on week in and week out. If he has a bad week, you're not upset about it because next week he's going to get you 40 points, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have a hard time agreeing to draft a tight end, even if it is Travis Kelce, number five overall. Given the choice of Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, and Travis Kelce, I'm taking Travis Kelce all day.
Me too. He's got a monopoly on tight end in fantasy football. He is a top five wide receiver that plays in a position where you usually don't get a ton of points. So if you can take Travis, if Travis Kelce is if you have the fifth, I'd say sixth, if you have the sixth pick or lower in your fantasy draft and in the first round and you don't take Travis Kelce, you're not playing right. Because you're going to get so much more production out of the tight end spot than everybody else in your league. It's ball game for you. Like, you have to get Travis Kelce on your team if you're in that first round or the lower half of the first round. You have to pick him. You have to. There's nobody else that's going to even be close.
I'm glad you mentioned he's a wide receiver playing tight end, because that's where we're headed next. Wide receivers to target and to avoid in fantasy football. I've got a name that's pretty obvious, Bill. Give me your wide receiver to watch out for and to target in fantasy football this season.
What do you think?
I'm going to say Jalen. I think you're going to tell me Jalen Waddle.
Oh, go with the cheetah. Go with the cheetah. I love Tyreek Hill. I love Tyreek Hill, and if I have a – Oh, wait, if I have a draft pick in the first round that he is still there, I'm taking him. He is going to blow the door. That was his first year in the Miami Dolphins system. Normally, and we've talked about this on this show, that normally when a wide receiver changes teams after they've been with a team for a certain number of years, I think he was in Kansas City for five. Is that about right? Is that sort of fun? They don't go to the next team and do well. That doesn't normally happen. Julio Jones, there's a lot of guys just fall off the table. He was better in Miami with a worse quarterback. Now, granted, I'd love Tua. I'm not going to say. But Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Joe Burrow, but it's close, right? But I'd say Mahomes. He was throwing to Tyreek, had this fantastic guy. Now, there were all these weapons down in Kansas City. Obviously, we just talked about Kelce. But Tyreek was better last season in a brand-new offense with a brand-new team with a new quarterback he had never played with. And now he's in his second year. Healthy, still wicked fast. I watched a clip of him absolutely destroying an Atlanta cornerback in camp because they're doing joint practices right now. Mm-hmm. He actually double moved him so bad that he beat him twice. It's tough to get beat twice on the same route. He kind of waited for the guy like, hey, I got you on this one. You want to do it again? And then it's awful. I'll show it to you. It was so good. But anyway, Tyreek Hill.
Hopefully he's not the reason why Jeff Okuda got carted off in Atlanta. Poor guy can't stay healthy. The Lions don't have to worry about him anymore.
I think it was Trey Flowers. He's not a great corner. Yeah. He's in Seattle for a while, but he was embarrassed. It was bad.
Real quick, shout out Mama Frick in the house. Mom in here watching. So your dad, my mom. It's a family affair.
Oh, hey! Great minds think alike.
Diggity. We're on it, doggone it.
That's right.
This name is probably going to be, I don't know if it's going to be obvious or not, but he didn't have a great season of fantasy last year, primarily because he missed seven games. His quarterback got a monster contract, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I'm going with Keenan Allen. Not a lot of people talking about him. He's a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy for a long time. Missed seven games, and I think he actually left a game early last year. So let's call it he missed eight games. He was still good for, like, if you're double flex league, he was the number 40 ranked wide receiver in fantasy last year. So if you were in like a super deep league, He wasn't a bad play for you last year, considering he still missed 7+ games. Keenan Allen is a sneaky, quiet name that should be available late that you shouldn't feel bad about going to get, because you've got Kellen Moore. Is it Kellen Moore that's the offensive coordinator that left Dallas and is in LA now with yes. Justin Herbert? Yep. He is a young offensive, obviously an offensive minded coach. He was a quarterback. So I think he's gonna open that playbook up, and we're gonna see some high scoring offense coming out of Los Angeles by the way of the Chargers this year. So I love Keenan Allen. Bill, give me your wide receivers to avoid this season.
I hate this. I hate to say this. He's probably a top. I don't know. He's one of the top. A lot of my friends are gonna be upset. Mine is Tyler Lockett, Seattle Seahawks.
Tell me why.
Because. Well, Smith and Jigba. How do you say his first name?
No. Oh, yeah, the new rookie that they just drafted.
Yes, and I don't love Geno Smith. So are we – and Walker's injured. Like, what's going on up there in Seattle? We don't know. The offense is kind of in disarray. I don't love Tyler – and Tyler Lockett's getting a little bit old. So, yeah, I'm going to avoid him. I'm not going to pick Tyler Lockett.
Somebody's calling one of us a homer, I believe. Gary. It's Gary. Yeah, he's probably because you went Tyreek Hill with wide receiver.
That's my uncle, by the way.
Uncle Gary.
That's my uncle.
I've met Uncle Gary. What's up, Uncle Gary?
Yeah.
I met you briefly a while back. Listen, I'm gonna give you two names. Both have always
you're avoiding the most these part, guys.
Yeah, two guys that I'm avoiding that have always been solid fantasy producers.
Okay.
But we've talked about how bad the quarterback position is, and so for that reason, I'm not touching Mike Evans or Chris Godwin this season. Two of the most talented, most explosive, most consistent wide receivers in the NFL.
That's because they have a stinky quarterback.
Because they have no quarterback to throw in the ball.
Come on. We just talked about how Kyle Trask could be the guy.
Uncle Gary, you're awesome.
Thank you.
So you guys are awesome. That's good stuff. But yeah, no, I'm not touching anybody from that offense for Tampa Bay. And for that matter, I'm not touching anybody on that defense. If you're giving me the one person on that team or the field, I'm taking the field. Like, I'm not touching anybody, including guys like Mike Evans. And Mike Evans has come out in the offseason and said he thinks he's the best receiver in the NFL.
Ooh.
But
on what planet?
He might be on
Mike Evans's planet, I guess.
He might be a top five wide receiver, but when you've
got... Did he say NFL or XFL? Did you hear that wrong?
When you've got my left foot throwing him the football, you could be DeAndre Hopkins.
Trask, man, come on, go Gators.
It doesn't matter. You're not
Mr. Rattler, Elmer B. So now you get to see about where your guy will land.
Yeah.
4,000 yards.
4,000. You take anybody from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good luck with your fantasy season this season. Bill, let's move to tight ends because we've still got a few things left to get to. Let's move over to tight end. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag because you called it. My tight end, one of my two tight ends to look out for is Carolina Panthers' new tight end, Hayden Hurst. He's the number 26. He was the number 26 tight end in 2022. And early reports out of Carolina is he is becoming the early favorite target, the number one target for Bryce Young in this offense. He had 414 receiving yards last season with two touchdowns, a pretty mediocre season, but again, good for number 26 in fantasy. My boldest prediction this entire offseason, and it's sort of shifted. So I think I said last week on this show that Hayden Hurst will get 1,000 yards this year. Michael Davis reminded me that the only tight end to get 1,000 yards the last couple of seasons has been Travis Kelce. So I've sort of shifted my bold prediction, but I'm keeping it consistent. My boldest prediction this year in the NFL is that Hayden Hurst will either get the 1,000 yards that I've predicted or 90 to 100 catches this season for Hayden Hurst. He is going to be all over the field for the Carolina Panthers. Listen, 1,000 yards, he has to get like, what, 50-something yards a game? I think that's doable in this Panthers offense. I know that you don't think that Bryce Young is going to throw for a whole lot of yards. I think the Panthers are going to be great on offense. Oh, have you seen some of the throws he's been making at camp?
What? I can't hear you anymore because I think I went deaf. I heard you say something about 90 to 100 catches or something for a tight end. I think I heard that. Well, is that what I heard?
That's why they call it bold prediction. There's no rest for the weary. I've got one other tight end, but give me a tight end that you're looking out for this season.
Oh, Gary already said it. That's not fair. He's taking my thunder.
Listen, I haven't put it on the screen yet. I was hoping that's what you're going to call it.
He's watching comments. So my tight end to watch out for this season, not named Travis Kelce. Like I said, if you have a low draft pick in the first round and you don't take Travis Kelce, you're messing up. But other than that, I think New York Giants tight end Darren Waller is finally healthy. The guy was a bad dude when he was healthy out there in Raiderville, Vegas and Oakland. I guess he's played in both. But dude is a monster. He is really athletic, really big, really fast, and now he's with the Giants. I don't love Daniel Jones, but if they can figure out how to get that man the ball and he's healthy, that guy is going to be a stud as a tight end in New York. That's a good signing by the Giants.
And Gary agrees with you, man. He was the one that put in the comments Darren Waller.
Yeah,
I've got one more, and it's sort of like process of elimination. Look who's in the chat.
Hey, my wife's in the chat.
Yeah, let's go. Sort of a similar reason as to why I'm liking Hayden Hurst this season with a rookie quarterback. I'm going to go with another tight end that you should keep on your radar, and that's Houston Texans tight end Dalton Schultz.
Oh, gosh. Wait a minute. You're not touching.
Hear me out, dude. Dalton Schultz was the number 11 tight end in fantasy last year, and he missed some games with injury last season. Who else does C.J. Stroud have to throw the ball to in Houston?
Dalton Schultz played for who last season?
Dallas, with Dak Prescott.
Who is their quarterback? Okay. He's a pretty good quarterback, right?
He's been throwing picks left and right in training camp.
Is he a pretty good quarterback? This season, is he a good quarterback? Is Dak Prescott a pretty good quarterback?
He's middle of the pack quarterback.
He's above average. He's above average. He's a good.
I'll give him fifth, like around 14 to 16.
In a pass heavy, balanced. But they had injuries to running back, and then they had Ezekiel Elliott who couldn't get around his last cheeseburger enough to be able to run down the field. So they were throwing a lot, and they had a good quarterback, and they threw it to their tight end. Now you think he's going to do well in Houston? You just told me not to touch anybody on the Tampa roster because they have no quarterback play. Do you think C.J. Stroud is going to get this man the ball?
To make him
a top five tight end?
First of all, I never said he was going to be a top five tight end. But
why are we watching out for him? I want a top five tight end.
I'm saying you're looking out for him. So if you remember when we first started this conversation, I said my guys aren't guys that I think you should be going out and expecting to start right away. But Dalton Schultz is a guy that if you can get super late, and he can give you that top 10 to top 12 production at tight end. There's not a lot of tight ends that give that kind of production in the NFL.
I just want to make sure that everybody that's watching knows that happened in Dallas's offense last year. He is now across the state in Houston, not very far. It's only like a couple hours, 3 hours away or something like that. But those 3 hours are a chasm when it comes to quarterback play with C.J. Stroud versus Dak Prescott.
Listen,
Be careful with Ryan's pick here, folks.
I don't want everybody to get upset with us.
I'm not telling you to take
Dalton Schultz like top 10 rounds. But if you're looking for like maybe a
you
backup
can get him with
tight
your
end,
last pick, take
no,
a flyer.
I think if you can get a guy like Dalton Schultz in the 12th round or later, I think you could do worse at tight end.
Okay.
I don't know if you're expecting to draft Dalton Schultz as your number one tight end, but if everybody else is gone, don't be concerned if Dalton Schultz is the last guy on the board because he's going to give you enough production to where, like, listen, nobody's going to give you Travis Kelce production. Nobody, even Hayden Hurst, even though I'm calling all these great things for Hayden Hurst, the only guy that we can predict with accuracy that is going to have a good season is Travis Kelce. It's at the tight end position. Dalton Schultz is not Travis Kelce, but he will be able to give you some production that will make you feel a little less bad than drafting Kyle Pitts and being in the top 10 rounds and being severely disappointed. I would take Dalton Schultz over Kyle Pitts right now. 100%. I would take Dalton Schultz over Kyle Pitts. Yep.
Can I play in your fantasy league for lots of money, please?
Listen, please. I'm telling you. Listen, I finished second in my league last season.
That's an anomaly.
Well, nevertheless, we got tight ends to avoid. Give me your tight end that you're avoiding this season. I'm guessing Dalton Schultz is one of them. Give me another tight end.
Wait a minute. Tight ends to avoid. Hang on, I had that a second ago, and now I'm lost.
Yeah, because I
actually, you know what's funny is my tight end to avoid is Kyle Pitts.
Yes, let's go.
Why? Oh. For the same reasons we were avoiding the Tampa guys, we're avoiding Atlanta's guys because Desmond Ridder is not legit. And all you have is Taylor Heinicke behind him. I think Heinicke at some point probably ends up starting there because he's been pretty middle of the road with Washington. That's a middle of the road quarterback, Ryan, not Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott much more above average. But yeah, I think Kyle Pitts gets hurt by the fact they don't really have anybody to throw him the ball.
You're not going to like my tight end to avoid, and it's because he was a very successful tight end with your team for.
Are you going to say Mike Gesicki?
Mike Gesicki is the guy that I'm
avoiding. Yeah, I was going to say him too. I don't even know who he plays for, to be honest.
He's with New England.
Oh, jeez, that's right. I forgot. I remember that now.
He was the number 20 tight end last year, so he was a tight end two last year. So if you're playing two tight end leagues, he was there. But Mac Jones couldn't make Hunter Henry a top 20 tight end. Hunter Henry was the number 22 tight end in fantasy last year. Mike Gesicki, with a better quarterback, was only number 20. If Mac Jones can't satisfy tight ends like Hunter Henry, he's not going to be able to do it for Mike Gesicki. I said what I said. Don't give me that look. Mike Gesicki, I'm not touching this year in fantasy football. Bill, we're up against it. Maybe let's run through it real quick. Let's go through our way too early Super Bowl predictions. If you recall last week, your Super Bowl matchup was the Eagles versus Bengals. If you had to make a pick between these two teams right now, let's assume that Joe Burrow is healthy and playing, obviously, because he made it to the Super Bowl. Who would you have an Eagles versus Bengals matchup here for Super Bowl? I don't know what number we're on now. Super Bowl 2023.
The Bengals offense absolutely terrifies me, and that's why I would pick them.
So you're taking the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. We were almost right there. I had the Niners and Bengals in the Super Bowl. We're doing this very quickly, so maybe we'll do a little more analysis next week. My buddy Kendrick is a big 49ers fan, so he'll be happy to hear that I'm going to take the Niners to win the Super Bowl this year.
Wow.
I think that I would
almost bet a paycheck against that team.
I think that team is just the most pressure on it. Yeah, they got the most pressure. Yeah, but you know what happens? You know what happens when you put pressure onto coal, they turn into diamonds. Is that how it works? Listen, I'm just throwing it out there. The Niners are going to be, if they can stay healthy, the Niners are going to be a really good team this year. Cole?
Brock Purdy? Because he is pretty good. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Listen, that's why they call it the way too early predictions, right?
Way too early. I don't even know why we're picking the Super Bowl. We haven't even started preseason games yet.
Well, Bill, we got to talk about our final sponsor. Then we're going to get into Homer's Corner. So let's get right into it with One Stop Repairs. Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina, is your one-stop shop for all your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs. Bill, it's my favorite time of the show, Homer's Corner, where each of us have something that we like to talk about. If this is the first time watching the show, we each get to actually be a homer and talk about something we want to talk about. And Bill, your idea is to talk about the curse of the Miami Dolphins. So the floor is yours, sir.
What does that mean to you, Ryan? If I told you that the Miami Dolphins are cursed, what would that mean to you?
Listen, there's been a curse of the Gamecocks for 100 years. I get everything about teams being cursed. It means that, like, you finally have a team that you're really, really happy about, and then something crappy happens, and it's, oh, here we go again. This is just another thing that I have to deal with. That's what I think about when I hear curse of the Dolphins.
So we traded for the number three overall rated cornerback last year by Pro Football Focus, Jalen Ramsey. And of course, in his second day of camp, tears his meniscus to the point he had to have a full meniscus repair. And they're saying that could be up to 4 months recovery. That sucks. So today the news comes out that Jalen Waddle had left practice with an apparent injury. No stating what it was. They said it was a midsection injury. I don't know. In baseball, an oblique injury keeps you out forever. I don't think that's necessarily the case in football because these guys are pretty tough. But hopefully it's not something like a broken rib, because that's definitely something for a wide receiver. A quarterback can play with it. We saw Justin Herbert do that last season. Mm. But a wide receiver, yeah, really can't. So hopefully he just pulled a muscle. I'm telling you, man, it feels like a curse. I can't. You stacked this roster this season. Absolutely stacked the Miami Dolphins roster this season. We've gone with two all-pro corners. We have a great – I mean, just – There's talent everywhere. We've given away every draft pick to try to put as much proven talent on this team as possible. And of course, injuries are going to absolutely bite us in the butt. I'm waiting for Teron Armstead to be out for the season. I don't want to call that, but when that happens, I'm just going to give up and just tell you there's no chance the Miami Dolphins are going anywhere this season, because when he's out, that team is terrible. The offense is terrible. And that happened last year. That's part of why Tua ended up having his egg scrambled.
Well, I hate to
hear
that.
It feels like it's a curse, man. It feels like a curse. Hopefully Jalen Waddle's okay.
I've got a feeling that Ramsey's going to be okay too.
When is he going to be okay? I need him covering. Now, granted, we signed Eli Apple, man, so we're going to be just fine. No, that's not going to happen.
Well, you told me earlier today off the air that they're talking great things about my guy Cam Smith.
Cam Smith, and they still got Darth Cater. Cater Kohu came from my favorite undrafted free agent story probably in a long time. Guy came from Texas A&M Commerce. And I actually had to look the school up because I was like, is that like the business school at Texas A&M? No, it's a completely different college that nobody knows about. I don't know, D2, D3, I have no idea. But I had to look it up. It started in NFL games last year as a rookie, as an undrafted free agent. He's very good, and they've got him. But, I mean, they're not Jalen Ramsey. The guy is a shutdown corner. Like I said, he was the third best rated corner last year. And he had an off season because he was bored on a bad team.
Well, you mentioned college. That's where I'm going for my Homer's Corner this week. The top 25 preseason rankings have come out. South Carolina started the season number 27 in the country after finishing the year with wins over Clemson and Tennessee. And to me, it was a heartbreaking loss to Notre Dame in the Gator Bowl. North Carolina comes into the season ranked 20. The thing that I love about this the most is that South Carolina, and Shane Beamer specifically, likes to get this team up when they feel like underdogs. And so now you go into this game, game day's there, you're a neutral site game in Charlotte. They're trying to make this game have more feel to it. We played the same team in Charlotte back in 2022. I believe it was 2022. In the
bowl game.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl. I was at that game. Not long after that game, I was diagnosed with COVID, so we're not going to talk about that. But we won that game. We got to see Shane Beamer take a igloo cooler to the back of the head.
Starting quarterbacks. Doesn't make any sense why North Carolina would suddenly jump up in the rankings. Didn't Drake May start that game?
No, I believe it was Sam Howell.
Last year?
2 years ago. We played 2 years ago.
Oh, it was 2 years ago? Okay.
So
Drake May's supposed to be a little better.
I love the fact that again, South Carolina gets to play the role of the underdog and going into this game. But even more curious than that, listen, I'm a diehard Gamecock.
Can I ask a question, though? Can I ask a question about South Carolina? Now, they put the rankings. They always say, like, who got votes and things like that. Did South Carolina get any points, like any votes from the –
Yeah, we're ranked 27th. And if the ranks went past 25, we'd be 27th in the country.
Florida's 28th. So, I mean, it's – and they're not expecting much from Florida this year. But Florida got 28 somehow.
They'll fall like they should. Listen, as the diehard Gamecock that I am, it makes no sense to me how Florida State is number 9 in the country and Clemson is number 10. Now, there's a lot of unknowns about the Clemson Tigers. They have a new offensive coordinator. They've got a sophomore quarterback in Cade Klubnik that
was an unbelievable recruit. Like,
if you ask top recruits. If you ask most Clemson fans, if Cade Klubnik had played South Carolina last year, Clemson wouldn't have lost to us.
Right.
I find that hard to believe. He also allowed Tennessee to come back to them in their bowl game. In the bowl game of South Carolina eliminated us from the playoff bowl.
Unbelievably highly regarded recruit, though. I think he was number one quarterback the year coming out of high school.
I believe so, too. Yeah. And it's astounding to me that Florida State has done nothing of note. I think they've had a couple of decent recruiting classes, but it makes absolutely no sense to me that Florida State out of nowhere is ranked higher than Clemson in the preseason poll, considering I don't think they've beaten Clemson in 10 years. If anybody's listening to this as a Clemson fan that hears me saying this, congratulations, because this is the only time you're ever going to hear me saying anything nice about Clemson.
Yeah, true. I can't even believe.
Florida State. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're hearing it right. Florida State being ranked ahead of Clemson is absurd to me. Absolutely absurd. You know what's not absurd is the fact that football is right around the corner.
Yes. This has
been really fun to talk about, get excited about. We got fantasy drafts coming up. We might have some fantasy leagues coming up. By the way, what player from the Dolphins are you repping this week?
You're not even going to believe it. You're not. Can
is it Jalen Waddle? No. Wallace.
Mike Wallace. Remember Mike Wallace?
Let's go. Old right. Steeler?
It's even the new logo. Yeah. Mike Wallace played for the Dolphins 1 year.
Wow.
I bought a Mike Wallace jersey.
Mike Wallace. How about that?
When I wear it, it's William Wallace, the Scotsman.
William Wallace. I hear you, man. Listen, Bill, this has been fun, man. I really enjoyed getting excited about fantasy football, getting in a heated discussion about the Pac-12 and conference realignment. This has been an all-around fun show. I think this is one of the most entertaining, at least personally entertaining shows that we've done in a while, man. Not that our shows aren't entertaining every week, but this was a lot of really fun conversation we had, man. I appreciate you being here once again.
I love being chirpy with you. That's it, and I enjoy it. I hope you don't mind me interrupting you all the time, but your opinions are terrible. So I just want to let you know. I can't wait. 90 to 100 catches. I'm writing this down. It's. I almost want to put money on this. 90 to 100.
Listen, I can look up
how many seasons. Oh, you've got it written down. Okay.
I got the glare back to you. I've got it written down too.
So I'm going to look up maybe if I want to spend time doing this week. But I'm going to look up to see how many seasons of tight ends that have caught 90 to 100 catches. Like how many seasons of tight ends doing that there are? Because I bet you it's not that many.
Listen,
think it's going to happen from a first overall draft pick that everybody thinks is probably going to be broken by week 7.
It's a bold prediction for a reason, man. Listen,
bold prediction. It's a crazy prediction.
You're telling me you like to get chirpy with me. Just reminds me of the player haters ball. Like I hate you. I hate you. I don't know you, and I hate your guts. Enough, if you excuse me, I got to go put water in Buck Nasty's mama's dish. No, that's right.
I give up. I don't watch TV. I watch racing.
Chappelle Show, man. This is classic. Player haters ball. Anyway, Bill, it's been a fantastic show. Thanks for everybody who chimed in the chat. Let's go back and see everybody. My mom chimed in. Your Uncle Gary. Your wife, Shauna, came in the chat. Michelle, your dad, Bill Sr. Dylan Lee. My sister, Stephanie, was in here. Volley Polly, everybody who joined the show, be it Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, make sure you go and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you're following and liking me on social media at Tapouts and TDs on Twitter, facebook.com/tapoutsandtouchdowns. Make sure you're listening to The Wrestling Show with myself and PJ Steven. We're going back to the time machine in WWF 1997 coming up next week. And as always, Michael Davis and I are on the Cat Cave, a part of the Keep Pounding Podcast Network, powered by the Fans First Sports Network. You can find that video podcast on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio YouTube channel. And you can also listen to that show weekly on the Keep Pounding Podcast Network, wherever it is that you get your podcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for the football episode this week. For Banker Bill, it's your guy, Bully Rye. We'll see you next week right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.